It's probably true to say that the teacher who teaches the word to others probably gets more benefit from his teaching than they do who are listening to the teaching. That's one of the great rewards of being a teacher of the word, and I might say that when you do your teaching for others and perhaps witness to others, you're probably going to get more from it than those whom you're witnessing to. It's the way God would have it, I believe, and it's part of my story today. Colin Cook here, and How It Happens. Thank you for joining me today. You're listening to the good news of the gospel and how we train our faith to trust Him, and to trust Him a little more each day and grow each day so that the life that He has given us by His mercy can be shared with others who are receiving a similar kind of mercy. When somebody preaches the gospel, he probably changes himself as much as, if not more, than the people he's preaching to. This has been my experience in regard to teaching this radio broadcast. As I said, the radio broadcast has now been going, as of 2014, for 17 years. At first, I started with three factors. That is, I would preach on the spiritual factor, which would be the gospel, and then the emotional factor, which would be the wounds in childhood, and then the addictive factors, which would be the present-day addiction escapes. Now I blend all of that into one, but I do that through the teaching of the Book of Romans. And back then, that is at the beginning, I taught much more on the issue of homosexuality than I do now, because I have sought to make the program more generic, more suitable for everybody who struggles with one thing, with one addiction or another, and, of course, for everybody whether they struggle with addiction or not, though, as you know, I have stated many times that all mankind is in addiction because all mankind is in a constant escape from the pain of the absence of God. However, as I have continued to teach and preach the Book of Romans, I have seen more and more, day by day, the centrality of Jesus Christ. I've seen how He is the whole issue for the human race, that though Christ is not much of an issue at present in the world, He will become that. He will become that not simply because the prophecies say so, but because of the very content of the gospel itself. Now, you know, I think it may seem strange to you that I'm talking about becoming more and more aware of the content of the gospel as being Jesus, but the Book of Romans, if you keep reading it and studying it, detail by detail, line by line, clause by clause, idea by idea, you see that Jesus is the one who is on every page of Scripture, and that Jesus is at the forefront of Paul's thoughts all the day, on every line of his epistle to the Book of Romans. Why doesn't it become obvious, this fact, at first? Well, because you see so many issues in the Book of Romans. You see the issue of the law, and is it law or grace? You see the issue of wrath, what is wrath? You see the issue of predestination and whether people are predestined to be saved or lost. You see the issue of Israel and who is true Israel, and are Gentiles Israelites also. You see so many issues in the Book of Romans because it is such a rich book. But then as you keep going, and as I kept going over the years, I saw more and more that it really was all about Jesus Christ. And as I was teaching that, it wasn't a question of seeing it, but experiencing it more deeply. To me, though the Book of Romans appeals to our intellect, it is not an intellectual exercise studying this book. It's a faith exercise. It's an experience of learning how to trust. I talk about faith training. More and more, day by day, I look at the issues of how I train my faith, how I wrestle with God. That's another thing that the book of Romans brought out so strongly. Now, I was aware of the message of wrestling with God, particularly from the book of Genesis, where Jacob wrestled with God, regarding returning home, you know, and his brother Esau. But never did I see the issue of wrestling with God more clearly than I did in the book of Romans. Because here we are being told in chapter 5, for instance, that we're reconciled to the heart of the Father, and that there's no more wrath. But all of us know, don't we, that there are feelings within our minds that God is wrathful against us, that God is judging us, that things go wrong, and therefore this is a punishment or something. And the more I saw what Paul was telling us about trusting and believing and rejoicing, the more I could see that, wow, this is a wrestle against my very human nature, because to rejoice and to give thanks to God is contrary to what my heart feels. My heart feels guilty, or my heart feels ashamed, or my heart feels afraid. And so to praise is to wrestle against that fear. To give thanks is to wrestle against the resentment or the anger I may feel. And for instance, Romans 6, about being dead to sin. Well, we're all tempted, we all feel the urges of the flesh, and we sometimes fail, and then we think, well, then I'm not dead to sin. But Paul is making it very clear that the death to sin he's talking about is not my death, but Christ's death, in which I enter by faith. And thus there is a new wrestle. A wrestle that I affirm that my human nature is counted as dead, even though I feel it's very much alive. Then comes Romans 7, a wrestle against the law, because the law condemns, the law makes me feel guilty, the law makes me feel inadequate, unfinished. And yet, Paul says, I'm dead to the law in the body of Christ. And so there is a wrestle in that way too, where I am wrestling against the inclinations of my mind that tell me I'm not good enough, I'm not adequate, and I need to praise God that Christ is my righteousness. This is a wrestle, and the more I studied it, the more I became aware that faith sets itself completely against human nature. Then came Romans 8, where I'm declared alive in Christ, that my life is in the resurrection of Jesus, and all the little petty deaths we go through every day are not, in fact, disappointments and deaths, after all, but instruments of life and resurrection. So, all of the issues of Romans, issues like wrath or predestination, or who is a Jew and who is a true Israelite, issues of the Sabbath day, by the way, and clean and unclean foods and meats, all of these issues are not separate issues. They are not individual doctrines that can be sorted out through the book of Romans. They all ultimately point to Jesus Christ, to who he is for me. And so I saw more and more as I taught you, I saw more of the teaching for myself, that Christ is the centrality of my life, even though I want to pull away, even though I want to forget him, even though I want to block him many times. It's all an issue about Jesus Christ. Of course, I attempt to make that issue relevant to our lives, whether we have an addiction to drugs or alcohol or food issues or heterosexual or homosexual addiction, whether we are addicted to worry or anxiety, whether so many troubles have come into our lives and ill health and poverty that we are stressed out at every point, I seek to show how Jesus and the gospel apply in those particular circumstances. Well, what am I saying in regard to you in this matter? Well, in my own experience, I have found that a continuous revisiting of the book of Romans enables me to get a proper paradigm for my own life. Paul says in Galatians 2 verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives within me, and the life that I now live by faith in the Son of God, I live by faith in the Son of God who died for me, gave himself for me. And so, slowly, though I'm still a child at it, I think, slowly I'm learning to identify myself in Christ, surrounded by him, he in me. He says in John 17 that he prays to the Father that he and his people, his disciples, may be one, just as I, Father, he says, and you and Jesus are one. And so I can't define my life anymore as it is in myself. It is a life wrapped up in Jesus. It has to be. Now, I still go through my ups and downs. I still go through my dark nights of the soul. I still go through feelings of just being unable to move and get into action. I still go through all kinds of various struggles of the heart and mind and faith life. But I know that God is still there, that he has not pulled away from me, that he has not separated from me, that he is with me even in my brokenness. And this is how I hope you will see it too, that is, see your life. But I do encourage you to do what I've done almost by default, and that is to explore the book of Romans not simply by reading it generally, but by breaking down the various verses and chapters, verses and clauses, and saying, now, what does that mean? Yes, I grant you that's a study for a long, long time, many years perhaps. But what it does is it enables me and you to know who we are in Christ, and it also opens up the Bible, the whole Bible, in a way that you will not have seen before. Because once Christ is known for who he is, he will be seen on every page of the Bible. I want to share with you a new and urgent need. It's not new, really. It's been coming on for a long time, but I haven't done much about it because the demands of other aspects of the ministry have been very great. But we are in the need of new recording equipment, a new computer. The one I'm recording to you on that I load up to KLT, the programs through which I load up to KLT, is a 15-year-old PC. I have two technical friends who urge me quickly to get new recording equipment, new computer equipment, because this one is likely to crash. It slows down, it freezes, it pauses, and does all kinds of weird things at times, and I have to call people to know what it's doing. Now, the arrangement that I have made, or we have made, Tim and I, Tim is our international director for FaithQuest UK. He also doubles up as our tech director over there. He is buying the new computer over there with all the necessary software so that he can load it ahead of time to a degree anyway, and then he will come over here and then he will do all other various things that have to be done on this side of the pond. Now, he is taking care of the costs for the computer and the software by fundraising over there, and I am to take care of the costs of his arrival over here, a round-trip ticket at inexpensive rates, $1,200 nevertheless. And so he would be coming at the in January, if we can make it then, that's when the fares are cheaper. If there is someone out there that is very concerned about this and could consider this a donation to get it all accomplished, please write or send your check to FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. FaithQuest, P.O. Box 366, Littleton, Colorado 80160. Or you can take care of it by PayPal if you wish. Go to our website, faithquestradio.com, faithquestradio.com, and click on the donations button there, and you'll see the PayPal icon. Thank you very much for your help. A donation is tax deductible. I will send you a receipt at the beginning of January or the end of January for that purpose. Thanks again. I'll see you next time. Cheerio and God bless.